Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of New Year's Eve.
I watched the second half of New Year's Eve.
And this is the other half. All right, Mike. So Mike is angrily drinking.
Drinking and eating, and I'm so angry about this fucking movie. Because it ruined everything that I love.
Everything?
Almost everything that I love is ruined in this movie.
Didn't ruin me, did it?
Well, you're not in the movie, so...
Okay, guys.
Well, it depends on your opinion of this movie. If you like the first half of it, it might have ruined
it. Oh, it was garbage.
It was so... Like, I... Oh,
honestly, this...
so bad.
Yeah. You know what this movie was? This movie is if someone... The demographic for this movie is people who read People magazine.
Yes.
That is the demographic of the movie, and that is it. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
We are clearly not the demographic for this movie.
We are not.
You know, we watched it anyway because we're like, we should watch a movie for New Year's, and I couldn't think of any of the other ones off the top of my head. So I'm like, let's watch New Year's Eve. That
makes
seems
sense.
Appropriate.
I mean, it makes sense,
it
you know?
It makes perfect sense.
The ball dropping, you know?
When the balls are dropping, don't come a knocking.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Do you watch the New Year's Eve ball? Usually,
yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, it's
weird.
Momentous occasion.
It's weird that we're on the West Coast here, and it's like a time delay thing. So it's like this has already happened.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
It's kind of like, I don't know, this isn't live.
It's
like,
been delayed. But what would happen if the ball didn't drop? Let's talk about the horrors.
Okay, so
of this ball not dropping.
All right. No. Let's talk about
the pain that it would cause millions of New Yorkers and people of the world if this fucking ball doesn't drop in Times Square.
So let's see. Here's something about this movie. Is about halfway through, I said, fuck this. I have no way to keep track of every single thing that's going on this entire movie.
I just wrote down, I didn't bother writing down character names. I'm just going to refer to them as their celebrity names.
It's fine.
Just because I don't fucking care. They are not, you know, Hillary Swank was
right,
not
how
Claire.
Many side characters are there?
Too many.
I mean, how many stories are there? There's seven?
Like five or six.
I feel like there's seven.
Maybe there's seven. But they all intertwine near the end, so it's very confusing. Yeah.
Okay, so that makes it really weird. Because
I'll get into that.
When I started, it's just like, I was at one point just going, please stop introducing people. Please,
it
please,
got comical for me please, after a while, because people just started popping up
everywhere.
Yeah,
for you, there wasn't even like an introduction. So
they
the best
would just
part
show
about,
up, and everyone's like, okay, I'll just accept that this is a character.
So the best part about this is at the very beginning of every single new character being revealed, it was definitely like, this character is a celebrity. Who's it gonna be? They pop up. They almost like sometimes they pop up from things.
Yeah.
And they're
like out of boxes.
Like, I'm a character that you recognize. Let me do my lines.
Mm-hmm,
so it's like, oh my goodness.
This happens later in the movie too with a specific actor that I'll talk about.
Ooh, yeah. Exciting.
Yeah. I will tell you who it is so that you get to guess.
Okay, cool.
All right.
So beginning of the movie starts with Claire, which is Jennifer Garner, I think.
No, Hillary Swank, you fucking idiot.
Oh, they look the same. I thought it was Jennifer Garner the entire time.
No, that's Hillary Swank. Shit. Jennifer Garner is not this movie. I understand, though. Hillary Swank is like a more manly version of Jennifer Garner.
Kind
of,
yeah. So I was like, man, Jennifer Garner looks kind of weird today.
It would make more sense if Jennifer Garner was in this movie because Hillary Swank is so above this material. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's a $1 million baby. She's been in like really good. She was in Boys Don't Cry.
Look, man, Robert De Niro was in this movie, so.
Oh, I know Robert De Niro's in this fucking movie. Bobby De Niro, what are you doing to me, man? We saw you in Deer Hunter. You're the best thing ever. Look at you.
I'm going to spoil something, but say he was a Vietnam vet in this movie. I don't know if you knew that. Vietnam
vet. No.
He took photos.
It didn't matter.
Just like Deer Hunter. That's what I'm saying.
That's interesting.
Anyway.
So rather than shooting people.
He shot people.
With pictures.
With pictures. He took the light from their soul. Halle Berry's in this movie.
She's a pretty good nurse,
but she's been in some not good stuff. Yeah, everyone else is not.
Sofia Vergara, yeah. Katherine Heigl, John Bon Jovi. The list goes on.
Oh, that's who that was. See, that's my problem is I don't give a shit about celebrities.
Yeah, I understand.
So
I
recognize maybe about
guy.
50%. Oh, you did?
I had to look up Josh Duhamel because I didn't know who he was. I just recognized
him. Who's Josh Duhamel?
I looked at his IMDb. The only thing of note is Transformers movies. Yeah.
Wait, who was he though?
He was the guy who he was like, I got to get us to a specific place in New York because there's this girl that I loved and I wrecked it and I saw her a year ago and he needed to get to the specific place to talk to her.
Okay.
She's the one.
I didn't recognize him either. I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah, I know he's a good looking guy. I know that I've seen him before. I just needed to look up his name because I don't know. Like, I was like, is that Timothy Oliphant? No, it isn't.
Timothy Oliphant's way cooler.
He is so fucking cool.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
He's a really cool dude.
That's why
having
he's not
the
in
last
movie.
Name like Oliphant. Yeah, he does not belong
Oliphant
anywhere.
Oliphant is like a cool version of elephant.
That's right. And but Timothy Oliphant covers... never forgets his lines.
Oh,
that's
Oliphant
on his resume.
And covers the entire Earth. He's like a giant, like, space elephant.
Yeah.
Like a planet size.
An Oliphant.
Like, it seriously sounds like a Greek god, like, the Oliphants came down and they rained down on the Earth.
Or it sounds like a species from Star Wars.
Yeah.
The Oliphants.
Oh, Anakin, watch out for the Oliphants. Oh,
just
you know.
A random Scottish guy.
No, it's a Scottish guy. You know, yeah. It's Scotty.
It's Scotty.
Yeah.
Scotty from Star Wars.
Yeah, Scotty from
beat
Star Wars.
Beat me down, Scotty.
excuse me. It's beat me up, Scotty. Get your lore correct, sir.
It was a joke.
Just that
you
part when he grabbed, especially when he grabbed Anakin away from the lava planet. That's how he survived after
that's
his
right.
arm got chopped off by Obi-Wan. Duh.
Scotty was weird,
man. Do you know anything about Star Trek Wars? All right, listen.
Danger, Anakin Skywalker. Danger.
The beginning of this movie is just them starting out New Year's Eve, man. Ryan Seacrest is hyping it up, dog.
Ryan
you know,
Seacrest
as he should.
Too. But he's playing himself.
Yeah, that's fine. That makes sense.
Which is weird because you have all these other.
Yeah, but
people.
It's New Year's Eve, so you know Ryan Seacrest is Ryan Seacrest.
That's true.
But it is true. I wrote Jennifer Garner down. Is does it? Jennifer Garner,
man,
thing.
She knocks it out of the park in this movie. She's hardly recognizable as Jennifer Garner.
Damn it. So damn it.
Sorry.
So she.
Sorry, tell me more about Jennifer Garner.
So Jennifer Garner turns into Hillary Swank.
Hillary Swank, she fell on a stool after boxing, so she got replaced by Jennifer Garner.
So sad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Spoilers.
She is in charge of the Times Square Alliance, which is apparently in charge of making the ball go up and down.
Yes.
The famous New York ball drop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is so hard to like.
There's too much stuff
to talk
about. Because
it jumps right there.
Here's the thing. Do we really want to fucking talk about the plot of this movie? Because it's such a mess.
All right. I'm going to try to.
All right.
So I'm going to try to sum it up plot by storyline.
Plot by plot. You know what? That's a good idea. Tell me Hillary Swank's story.
So Hillary Swank's storyline is she sets up the thing. She's all scared, nervous. She meets her friend, who I don't know what he's from. I don't know if they had a past romantic relationship or whatever. But I don't know who he's played by. He's just a dude.
Well, now I can't help you.
He's probably I think he's the only black guy in the whole movie.
Oh, that's ludicrous.
No. He was just a regular black guy. Like, he's not crazy or anything.
No,
get
is he
it?
A cop?
Ludicrous. Oh, I don't know. Maybe he's a cop. There's a uniform on.
Yeah, that's ludicrous.
Okay.
That is ludicrous that he didn't recognize
I don't think
him.
I've never seen Ludacris.
That's Ludacris plays the cop in this movie. She's just best friends with him.
Ludacris is a really bad actor.
Yeah, he is.
He's really bad.
He's terrible.
So he's like, okay, we're best friends. I'm going to help you. And she's like, all right, I'm going to give a tour to these media guys. I'm really nervous. I gave an interview to the radio crew to ask where the camera was. And they're like, we're radio, duh. And so she's having a bad day. Mm-hmm. So then she goes up to the top and shows everyone like, there's a million lights in here or something like that. Like tons of lights, blah, 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 blah. It's sponsored by Philips. Let's light this light switch up. And then comes to a time before New Year's. I guess like 6 hours beforehand, they're starting to raise the ball. So she hits upon to raise the ball and it gets halfway up and then it freezes. And it's like, no, it doesn't work. And everyone's like, boo, our ball didn't go up. And the tech guys can't figure it out. And she's like, what's going on? And they're like, we don't know when this is going to be. We don't know what the problem is. We have to call Babushka or some like Russian
Some
name.
Russian guy.
Some Russian guy.
Yeah.
And
he's been with us for 30 years.
Yeah.
He knows what he's
doing.
And
for some reason, you know, so they get him and he comes back like, you fired me. And he's like, she's like, I didn't fire you. The guy before me fired you. You know, we're not going to fire you. This is going to be great. We need your help. You need to fix this. You're the best. And he's like, it must be short. Nothing else. Okay. Shouldn't be too bad. But and he keeps trying to leave or whatever. And she's like, no, fix. So eventually he just goes and fixes it. And that's the end of Jennifer Garner's storyline.
Meet Hillary Swank?
Nope.
Okay.
Jennifer Garner.
All right, let me tell you what happens next. It is revealed that she made a promise to somebody to meet them at a specific place at a specific time. And we are supposed to think...
Oh my gosh, it's that guy.
Josh Duhamel?
Yeah.
All right, well, let me tell you more about her a little bit. So half... Okay, when I start the movie, Jennifer... I almost called her Jennifer Garner.
Yeah,
Hillary
gotcha.
Swank goes on television, and she's at a podium, and she says this big... like speech about how New Year's is supposed to bring us together with people and how, you know, it shouldn't. I know. And here's the thing about the speech. It feels like an end of the movie monologue and everyone's watching it on TV and they're all feeling.
Yeah,
like really
I actually saw the first part of this when I saw the movie off.
And I was like, oh, this is like the end of the movie monologue. That this is what this movie is supposed to be leading up to, but it's only halfway done.
Yeah.
So she says this whole monologue and she gets off stage. And she says, you know, she's talking to some guy and this guy's like, man, that was really beautiful. She's like, yeah, I just really came from the heart. And, you know, I really, you know, I promised a person that I would meet them at a specific place. And then they immediately cut to Josh Duhamel and you see it. Oh, wait, I need to focus on hers. Right. So she's doing all this shit. And honestly, none of it fucking matters. Eventually, obviously, the Russian guy figures it out. And then she gets Ludacris's wife and kids to come visit him at his job.
I feel like Ludacris just yells, Ludacris, at random points. Even
yeah,
he
at one point. At one point, they're like, the ball's not dropping. He's like, Ludacris, this is ludicrous. This is absolutely ludicrous.
Did he actually say that?
No, of course not. Oh. That's too clever. And then she gets Ludacris's wife and kids to come visit him during the ball drop because I guess he's never able to go home during this time of year.
Sure.
The Russian guy figures it out, and she says, hey, here's the control to the ball. You get to drop it this year, because I'm going to go. I have a promise. I have a previous engagement. I need to talk to somebody. Oh, wait. I'm totally forgetting the best part of this whole movie, by the way. So she had that big speech, and she's at Times Square, and then the president of the Times Square Alliance arrives.
Who is he? Is he Burt Reynolds?
Nope.
Dang it.
One more guess.
Let's see, 2011. Who's big during that time?
Somebody, and you know, he's the president, so he should probably be kind of scary. You know, he should be like, you know,
Michael Douglas.
That's interesting. Matthew Broderick gets out of this limo.
Okay. All right.
And like Hillary Swank is like a whole foot above him.
Yeah.
And he just needs, and he's like, if you fuck this up, like there's, she's, he's like, you know, a lot of, you know, I heard your speech and it was really pretty. Spoke to a lot of people, but didn't speak to me. You need to figure the shit out because I don't want on my watch to disappoint a ton of people. She goes, look, sir, we're going to figure this out. And I was one of those people when I was a kid, I would look at this with my dad and it was really pretty. And he goes, well, figure this fucking thing out. And then he gets back in the limo and the limo drives off and he runs over a woman and child in cold blood.
Cool.
Like you do when you're Matthew Broderick.
Awesome.
Audience, if you don't get that, look up Matthew Broderick running over and murdering a woman and child in cold blood and getting away with it.
Oh.
Anyway, so Hillary Swank. Okay. So she figures it all out and she runs down and she's running through New York, the streets of New York, even though she's like vice president or coordinator. So she could probably get a car to do this. Doesn't matter. She's running through the streets of New York.
It's not dramatic.
Oh, that's true.
It's not dramatic.
She's running. And then you see Josh Duhamel and he's running toward her and she's running toward him and they run by each other.
Okay.
Because they weren't the ones that were supposed to meet.
Ah.
All a twist. See, she wasn't supposed to meet some guy that she met a year ago. She's supposed to meet her father. Her father is old Bobby De Niro.
Oh, Robert De Niro.
Bobby De Niro is her dad.
Man, you're spoiling all this. All right, let me go back to what I'm...
Fuck?
Let me get back to the... No, man. You gotta do this right. Let's go back to Robert De Niro's storyline. All right, so he's in the hospital for the cancer.
Yeah.
And he's dying because he doesn't want to take meds.
Yeah.
And
idiot.
Halle Berry's like, I'm a nurse. I feel bad.
I thought Halle Berry was his daughter or some shit because they were having a lot of conversations together.
No, she's just lonely and bored. So they're just hanging out and talking, and that's it. That's like all of his storyline. He doesn't do anything else. He just doesn't want to take treatment. You know, he's bummed out. He's a war vet. He's like, I've seen some stuff. What's the point? Now I'm just going to die. boom, whatever.
Yeah.
Is that it? That's all it was for him.
All right. Well, then eventually his daughter shows up, who is Hilary Swank. They go to the roof of the hospital.
And he jumps off.
Watch the ball drop. I honestly thought, because she's like, I don't know if I can do this. I'm like, oh shit, she's going to push him off the top of the
euthanize me.
Yeah. No, they just watch the ball drop from up there and then he dies.
Like on the roof? Falls over and
they
dies?
They don't show it. They don't even have the balls to show him dying. But later on, she has all of his personal effects.
Oh, she just stole it all. She won the money. Because, you know, she's a thief.
She is a thief.
She stole all those light bulbs from the ball. That's why it didn't work. That was a weird side plot. They didn't
really go into that. But he dies or whatever. And then he just kind of ends. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Okay.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? So, all right.
So next story.
So another two intertwining kind of story thing. We see this lady. She gets pushed into a trash area, and she's all like bummed out. She's not old. She's older. She's not an old lady.
Ingrid?
Ingrid, yeah. Who plays her?
I don't know. No idea.
I don't know. I didn't recognize the actress. Anyway, she's kind of grumpy. Gets up there, freaking meets up with this dude. So beforehand, there's this douchey guy with spiked hair.
You know who he is?
Zac Efron.
It's Zac Efron.
Okay, that's what I thought so. Mm-hmm. He's total douche, total play guy. As soon as you see him, he's like, yeah, what's up, ladies? Like, hello, I'm ladies man. And he sounds like Borat.
He sounds like Borat for some
reason. Yeah, it's really weird.
You're just a normal guy. You're going to be a normal guy.
I didn't understand that. I think he was really trying to impress some people, so he tried doing a Borat.
Failed.
This is 2011, 2006 called, come on.
My wife.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's like, yeah, bro, what's the guy called me? I'm going to go to this cool place, man. And so, come on, man. Stop. So he's talking on the phone to Ashton Kutcher.
Yes.
And Ashton Kutcher's,
that's stupid.
And Ashton Kutcher's like, nah, man, I'm like lame. I don't like New Year's. It's stupid. I'm a bah humbug to New Year's. And he's ripping, at this point, he's on the phone. He's ripping down the apartment he lives in, has a bunch of decorations, and he's ripping them all down. And he's like, this is stupid. I don't like this.
What does
I'm
he
not
do for
going
a living?
Out. He's a comic book artist.
All right. That makes sense. I can relate to him.
Anyway, yeah, you just want to rip all the New Year's stuff down. Anyway, so he's doing all that stuff, and I'm like, this guy seems all right. And he's like, I just want to stay inside. And everyone's like, no, bro, I'm going to find the coolest stuff. It's going to be great. So his quest is to find the coolest thing. Well, he is like a Postmates guy. He's like trying to find a cool event for New Year's. So he's trying to get Ashton Kutcher out of the apartment. So he's, I don't know what exactly his job is. He seems like a Postmates kind of guy. He's just like a dude who rolls around and just picks up stuff and delivers mail. So he's in the offices of a record company, which, what's her name was in? Older lady.
Hilary Swank?
No, older lady.
Oh, Ingrid.
Ingrid was in.
I'm going to look this up, make sure her name's really Ingrid. Because it doesn't fucking matter, but, you know.
Whatever. Anyway, and he notices, he's like, oh, hey, you first time you talked to me, even though you've been here forever. And she's like, yeah, well, you know, I'm busy,
Ingrid,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. Well, look at those tickets. Those are crazy. She's like, oh, these New Year's Eve tickets for like this thing? Yeah, whatever. She's like, oh, man, I won't get those. Huh? She's like, nah. But then at this point,
what does she do there?
She's an assistant to the boss,
all right,
of it, who is played by John Lithgow.
Oh, I like John Lithgow.
Yeah, he's cool. He plays a complete douche. So he's a complete douchey guy. She goes in and is like, hey, can I ask for 2 weeks off? Can I get that? And also, can I get a bonus? You know, can I get my bonus? And he's like, oh, here's your bonus.
You're
like,
fired.
And he's like, no. He's like, here's your bonus. It's not very much. And she's like, that's not enough. I quit.
Oh,
so
wow.
She quits.
All right.
Because the reason she was talking to Mr. Zac Efron is she was writing down her New Year's resolutions.
Right.
And her New Year's resolutions, the first one was quit your job because she didn't like it.
So if she had gotten the bonus anyway, if it was like a good bonus, she would have quit anyway?
Maybe. I don't know. But the thing is she never did her New Year's resolutions. She's right. Never able to do them.
And she's super old now, so she's got to do them.
She's got to do them. So she hires Zac Efron for the entire day and says, hey, make me do all of these. Make these all come true. And some are crazy. Like, go to Bali, have breakfast at Tiffany's, go to a cab with no traffic, things like that.
Have sex with Zac Efron.
That was a weird one.
That
and
came up later.
He's like, well, my name's not Zac Efron in this lore, so I'm going to have to go find
you. Well, the weirdest
thing.
Part, because, you know, Ryan Seacrest is popular in this universe, so there must be a Zac Efron. So he actually introduces her to Zac Efron, and there's this weird split screen.
Some weird lore, man.
It's very weird.
Then some drums start playing, and it turns into Fargo, and then an Indian man pops out and just stabs her.
Yeah, that'd
be
great.
Anytime there's a split screen, it's Fargo, season 2.
It's Split screen? Oh, I see what you're talking about.
Split screens.
I see what you're talking about.
Anyway, so he hires her, and he starts doing all these things for her. And he's like, yeah. Dude. And her thing is, I'll get you these tickets if you do all these things in like 24 hours. It's like some
event?
Club thing. I'm assuming it's the same club that Katherine Heigl's catering.
Right.
Same
type,
like a super party. I think
it
is.
Oh, God, I totally forgot about that subplot.
Yeah. So, what do you mean? This is all subplots.
Oh, my God, you're so right.
So, he does all these makeshift things. It's like, take a cab in New York City without traffic. So, he just takes a boat. One of them is go to Bali. He just goes to his massage parlor that looks like Thailand or something. Yeah, Bali. Cross like a bunch of roads. So there's like this giant mural kind of thing of New York. And she just walks around it and she's like, cross all these roads in like 10 seconds or something like that. Does that. So which are like things that are like really weird. That he gets around. So she feels happy until she's doing the crossing across the mail thing. And, you know, Zac Efron's calling his bro, Ashton Kutcher's like, hey man, like this lady's weird. She's like giving me these tickets. He's being way loud about it, obviously, for some reason.
Because he's a douche.
Because he's a douchebag. And he's like, yeah, she's like really like lonely or something and sad and pathetic. So she's like, just give me these tickets if I just do all these weird bucket list things. Yeah. Anyway, see you later. Boom, clicks the thing. And she's like, oh, I'm pathetic. Huh? I don't want to do this anyway. And then she slaps the tickets onto him and then she walks away.
So what does he do? Did he just take the tickets?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know.
That's not annoying me. So.
All right. Let me tie it up.
No. Because it's too intertwining. I have to go back to one other person. I have to go back to Ashton Kutcher.
All right. Fine.
So what Ashton Kutcher does, he's ripping down all these things. He's like, oh, I'm going to go outside, I guess. So he goes. And then this other lady, the Glee girl, comes in.
I wrote Glee girl down too because I don't know her
it's
fucking
Lee
name.
It's Lee something.
It's Leah Michelle.
Leah Michelle. That's
I only
it.
Know that because like I was watching the credits.
Yeah.
But I wrote Glee girl.
Glee girl. So,
she's a big superstar. She's going to go sing at...
She's not a big superstar.
She is. Well, she's not a big superstar, but she's going to go sing.
She's a backup singer.
Oh, she's a backup singer.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she's going to go sing.
So they meet up and they don't meet up. They go into the elevator.
And then it breaks.
But then it breaks and they get stuck and there's no reception and everything's terrible.
This is lame.
And so she's talking to him and they're kind of having like a nice... You know, this is the only part of the movie I actually kind of thought was okay.
Yeah? Why?
I don't know. I just like how ball episodes, man. Just talk to people.
I love ball episodes
talking
too,
to each other.
But the character has to be interesting.
You're right. They're not very interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, they assume each other, things about each other. She's like, oh, you're just a white guy from suburbs. And, you know, you went to a liberal arts college and you came to New York and you're unemployed or whatever. And you think you're cool and you're doing something in your life and blah, 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 blah.
Look at you.
And then the first thing is he started it. He said like, oh, you're a groupie for that one band guy,
Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi dude.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, how dare you? You must be blah, 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 blah. And he's like, no, 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 no. And then she's like, bah, 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 bah. And she's like, oh, and then they understand each other.
Seriously? Like, this is all the dialogue.
So that happens.
Okay.
And then they eventually seem to be getting along. And that's all there is. Now, please tell me what happened.
Which one do you want to hear first?
The first one.
Okay. So Zac Efron.
Tell me I'm Zac Efron. Tell me.
Let me tell you about it.
Tell me I'm Zac Efron.
So he felt bad. So
oh, he does. He has a conscience, huh?
He's conscience. So he's like, hey, I'm sorry. I'll take you around and whatever. And then he gets a phone call. Guess who's on the other end of that phone call?
His daddy. Because he wants his money back because he keeps stealing it because he's a kleptomaniac.
What?
I don't know. I figured that'd be a cool twist.
That'd be interesting. No, it's somebody else from the movie. Sarah Jessica Parker. It's his sister.
Wait, what? His sister's like way old.
I know. Isn't that fucking weird? Sarah Jessica Parker is his sister. So that intertwines.
Okay. Also, I forgot Sarah Jessica Parker existed in this movie. I forgot that whole storyline.
Totally
anyway,
understandable.
I remember it all.
The worst storyline.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
All right. So anyway, so he feels bad. And so he's like, hey, I'm going to take you to... Because I think one of the things on our list is she wants to go to like Radio City Music Hall.
Sure, why not? Whatever that is.
Radio City Music Hall in New York.
I don't know. I've been to New York. You been to New York?
Yeah, like
I've
twice.
Never been there.
Well, I feel bad for you.
Well, I don't know what that is. Please explain it to me.
It is like the legendary Radio City Music Hall. It's where a lot of popular music, a lot of popular bands and comedians have gone there to do their shows, but it's also broadcast to places.
Okay, cool.
So she goes there, and I thought he had murdered her because like the curtains open and you see her, and she's just dangling by a string, and her mouth is like gaping open, and her eyes don't seem focused. I was like, holy shit, he fucking murdered her.
Oh, amazing.
And then he says, like, having fun? And she goes, yeah! And I'm like, okay, she's okay. So then Times Square? And then she's like, hey, thanks for helping me. Here's the tickets. And he goes, okay. And then he leaves. But then it strikes midnight, and then he comes back to her, and then they just start fucking making out. And she's like, why'd you do that for? I'm like, I could be your mom. And then he's like, Sarah Jessica Parker's my sister. It doesn't fucking matter. No.
I was like, is this real? No.
Okay. And then he says, well, one of the things on your list was, you know, getting a kiss.
Wait, so he did kiss her?
So he did.
Oh, that was a fake.
No. They make out. And she goes, yeah, this is on your list. And then the movie ends, and then the credits play, and then the two of them go to the party that she had the tickets for. They both go as dates for each other, and they both dance the night away. He's like grinding up on her. And she's like,
no
yeah.
way, that's not real.
No, but they do go to the party.
Okay. I was like, no way.
All right. Okay. So now let me tell you a little bit about Ashton Kutcher.
All right. Tell me about Ashton Kutcher.
So Ashton Kutcher, Lea Michele's in there, and Ashton Kutcher says, I'm going to draw you, I'm assuming.
He's an illustrator. So at one point he was like, you're a singer? Why don't you sing me a song? Because it's like, I don't do solo performances unless I'm in the shower. And he's like, oh, and she's like, don't say anything gross. And then, that was it.
Okay.
So,
well,
so I assume there's probably something like where she's like,
she does sing to him.
Oh, okay.
She sings the exact same song at the exact same time that Bon Jovi is singing. Like, does a backup version of it?
That makes sense. Okay, that's all right.
But they're not in the same place. Like,
no, I know, but that's like a movie thing. Whatever. I can forgive that. I think that's actually kind of cool.
Whatever. So he finishes drawing her. And it's not, it's like a really bad, like, cartoon version of her.
Oh. Well, he's a comic book artist, so he's not going to draw, like, anything super crazy.
Yeah, he does, like, a comic book version of it.
A superhero? She have a cape?
No, this is actually kind of funny. She's stuck in the elevator, and the robot is, like, attacking the elevator. She's like, get me out of here.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty funny.
That's kind of funny.
And then she's like, hey, why don't we act like we're at a party together? He's like, oh, I'm a nerd. I don't know anything about parties, even though I'm Ashton Kutcher.
I sell Nikon cameras. Cool pics.
I'm married to Mila Kunis. I don't know the first thing about socializing with people. And then she's like, yeah, you see me at a party. You come up to me. And then there's a countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2. They get super close to each other. What? The elevator.
Ah! The microphone down.
The elevator works. It miraculously starts working. Comes down to the first floor, and I was like, "This movie's pretty bad," but couldn't get much worse. And then the janitor, elevator fixer guy is at the bottom of the elevator, and he goes, "I fixed it." And I'm like, "Wait a minute, that man who fixed the elevator looks familiar."
Uh oh,
ladies and gentlemen. Jim Belushi's in this
movie. Oh my God. No.
He fixed the elevator for him. And so they didn't kiss. And so they get out of the elevator. She's like, I gotta get to Times Square. I have a gig. And he's like, oh, okay. And she's like, okay, I'll see you later. And then she runs off. And then it's like, come on, you idiot. You fucking should have kissed her because you were like just about to kiss. They were just about to kiss because they were counting down to one.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it.
Bummer.
And then he gets in the elevator. And then he notices that she left some fucking rubber band thing.
Oh, man, my rubber band. She needs that for her braces. I don't know.
So then he takes it. He runs all the way to Times Square in his pajamas, gives it to her right before she's about to go on stage. And he's like, hey, I figured you need this. And he's like, thanks. And he's like, oh, yeah, I forgot one other thing, too. And they just start fucking making out before she gets on stage. And then she's like, oh. And then he's like, Happy New Year. And then she sings. Oh, yeah. And then this kind of intertwines with another story. But Bon Jovi doesn't get on stage because he's professing his love to Katherine Heigl. And then Katherine Heigl's like, who's on stage if you're not here? Because it hits one. And then they cut back. And she's gone from backup singer to lead singer. And she sings Auld Lang Syne, which is like one of my favorite songs ever written. And it's this shitty pop version of Auld Lang Syne. And I want to murder myself. I want to kill all of my loved ones. And I want to burn everything. I want to eat
Mike,
fire.
It's okay. It's just a movie, man. There's lots of good. Go to YouTube, find some good versions. I'm sure some good versions.
There are some
of that song.
Beautiful versions of that song, and she's like, "Shut up, Quaid."
Well, have you ever watched Glee?
No, I have, and you're absolutely right. Like,
they just take everything, they just butcher it. Yeah,
they did a good fucking job of doing that.
Yeah,
and then actually, I made a list of how many times I thought I want to murder myself or I hate this.
Okay.
I made up to 10.
All right. We haven't gotten to all these yet.
Sorry. Then it ends with them together. Who gives a fuck?
Fine. All right. We got to speed this up.
Sorry. Next thing.
So the next thing is, let's see, who we go next? Let's go with Sarah Jessica Parker and her daughter, Haley. So Haley.
Who's Haley?
Haley's the little girl.
Abigail Breslin.
Oh my gosh. It is.
Oh my God, you've grown so much, Abigail Breslin.
Wow, I forgot.
I remember you were that high. Look at you.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it's
okay.
Abigail Breslin.
Anyway, so.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
I got really excited. I'm sorry.
You really like Abigail Breslin?
I
did
not know. I was like, no. I was like, I did not recognize her. I was like, that girl looks kind of familiar. But then I was like, oh, okay.
Yep.
So. Abigail is like doing stuff. I don't know. She wants to like kiss this dude. She's in her history class.
Like, there's all these like problems that everyone has, and hers is like, I want to make out with a boy.
Well, her mom is very overprotective and won't let her go out in New York at midnight. I can't imagine why.
That's totally understandable.
I mean, it's late 2000s, though. New York's cleaned up by then. It's early 90s. You don't want to be in New York.
And that's a good point. But still, I still wouldn't let my child out.
She's 15. She's old enough.
Especially if she's dressed like Abigail Breslin. I don't let her out.
Like a girl?
Like a whore.
Oh, no.
I still out of New York. Not without me. Like, 16, 17, I understand. 15's a little early.
Oh, 15's a little early, huh?
She's
with her entire history class.
You can ditch your history class to make out with some guy and then get pregnant? I don't want that shit.
Oh, man. Making out is the quickest way to get pregnant. You know that, right?
On New Year's? Come on. And then, whatever, continue telling me about Abigail.
Anyway,
and
so her mom is very overbearing, and eventually at one point she's like, hey, I can't go, because my mom sucks, and the guy she wants to make out with is like, oh, let me talk to her. And then they talk, she's like, he's like, I couldn't do it, I couldn't convince her.
Yeah, because what are you going to say? I really want to make out with your daughter.
No, it'll be fine, I swear, Mrs. Blah, blah, blah.
I'm a horny teenager, and I like your daughter.
Me, man, me want both. Dar, 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 dar.
Yeah, all right.
Man,
so.
Now, I feel like we've crossed a threshold where we like can't see what it's like to be a 15-year-old anymore. We're just like,
I could see myself as a 15-year-old.
It's horrible.
I was desperate. And I was horny, and I didn't give a fuck.
It's the most honest thing.
Right? That's all you are as a 15-year-old boy. What are you going to do talking to your fucking date's mom? I really want to bone your daughter. Like, that's all you can say.
I like video games. I like fucking. Wait, I haven't done any of that.
I haven't done one of those. Let me give you a hint which one I haven't done.
Video games are too hard to turn on the console. I can never figure it out.
Anyway,
so that's almost the whole plot. Okay,
that is the whole plot.
So here's the one thing that made me go, wow. So
full frontal nudity.
No. So Sarah Jessica Parker is kind of grumpy.
Very.
And Abigail's like, what are you doing? Like, you know what? Like, I really hate that you're so like, you know, helicopter mom, like always on my case, blah, 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 blah. She's like, I'm not that bad. She's like, yeah, well, you're a jerk. And she says, you're just mad because you don't have a man. And I was like, what? What? I couldn't believe that someone said that. Like, I was like, wow, very progressive of you, Abigail.
Yeah, you need a man to tie you down.
You need a man to make you happy. And it's like, wow, that's really cool.
You know what this is? This is Miracle on 34th Street. But the daughter isn't like an adorable little like 7-year-old. She's now like 15 and still wants her mom to like settle down with some guy.
Seriously. But she's like, you dress like a weirdo. I'm like, nah, actually, I kind of like her style. She's got like a weird, because she's a costume designer.
Yeah.
At some sort of play thing. But she has like a weird, I don't know, like German-esque, like felt style. Mm-hmm. It's not modern at all, but she's rocking it. She's pulling it off, man. You
as
know
good
saying?
As a horse possibly can.
I knew that joke. It had I knew that joke was coming from you, Mike. I saw, as soon as I saw her, I'm like, Mike horse joke just popped up immediately in my head as soon as, because the reveal was like, oh, what about my mom? Poof! And then Sarah Jessica Parker
comes
pops
galloping
up.
In.
And I just saw Mike horse joke just pop up in neon lines. Just, I know it's going to be one of these.
And Abigail Breslin's like, hey, mom. She goes, hey, it's for horses.
Damn it, Mike.
Sorry. So continue with your story. We have a lot to get through.
We've got a lot to get through, and it's 'tis only an early night. By early night, I mean the time is early.
Okay.
So... No, that's it. That's like it. So eventually she leaves, runs off, and gets
that
in.
That is it, yeah.
No, she, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker comes into that room and is like, hey, I think I've been thinking a little bit. You know, I think she's going to change her mind, but Abigail's run off.
Mm-hmm.
She's run off, and she's gotten a subway to go meet Le Boy. Mm-hmm. And that is where my half ends.
Yes. And then she calls. She goes to, like, some bar or some shit. And then.
Oh, yeah, she's going to get drunk.
She's going to get drunk.
She's going to get drunk. You know, in New York, if they serve you, no matter what, right?
That's right.
Actually,
especially on New Year's.
They're actually very lenient.
Obviously. So she calls her brother, who it is revealed to be, spoilers, Zac Efron. And
oh my God.
I know you didn't see that coming. And then he's like, well, if I was the cool uncle, I wouldn't tell you this, but she's at this specific place. And she's like, I gotta get there. So she gets there, and Abigail Breslin's like, fishing through the crowd looking for the guy.
Well, he really needs to pull up, like, she really needs to reel it in. Yeah, you gotta get the hook, line, sinker. When he bites down, you gotta just yank it up real quick, and then Zac Efron comes up. But you gotta make sure he doesn't pull too much, because you don't want to break the line.
What the fuck are you talking
about? You said she's fishing through the crowd.
I was like, did you have a stroke?
No.
We're talking about New Year's Eve, not a fishing program.
You're the one who said it.
No, you're right. Abigail Breslin is like swimming uphill looking for the boy that she's going to fucking make out with. And she sees the boy, and it's New Year's. Like, it hits 12, and this other girl shows up and kisses him.
Oh, motive.
I know.
You guys remember that line? That's 2012.
Wow, that's almost as old as movie. I think this is that old of this movie. This movie,
it
I think,
is 2011.
2011. Perfect timing. So then she's like, oh, my whole story. And then Sarah Jessica Parker shows up and she's like, hey, babe. And they go to like this restaurant. And they go to the restaurant, and then her whole history class shows up to the restaurant, and they're hanging out there. And then the boys show up, and the boys are like, hey, we have tickets to this party. Can we go? And Abigail Breslin's like, can I go, mom? And after this, they've had this whole makeup thing where she's like, mom, you're right. I love you. Really, I love you, blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever. Mm. And then the boy's like, hey, we're going to this party. And Abigail Breslin's like, can I go? And she's like, yeah, sure. And then Abigail Breslin's like, do you want to come with me? Because there's two tickets. And she's like, no, I want to do, I've got plans. And so Abigail Breslin's like,
oh, she's going to meet up with that guy.
Yeah, she does. And the guy shows up, and she goes, he goes, that guy
with a name I forgot.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what her fucking plans are. So it's a whole switcheroo. Anyway, I know. So where was I? Oh, yeah. So then the horny boy shows up, and he's like, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make out with that girl. She forced me to make out with her. And then she's like, don't expect me to believe that. And he goes, it's the truth. And then they just start making out. But it's not even making out. It's like a really soft kiss, like a peck of a kiss.
Well, that's all she wanted. She didn't want to make out. She just said, like, I just want to kiss this boy.
Who gives a fuck? And then they're kissing in the back room. And then the weirdest thing ever happens in this whole scene and a couple of the scenes before. There's just this random brunette girl that's been following Abigail Breslin. Or maybe Sarah Jessica Parker? Do you know who this woman is at all?
No.
She's like an older woman, long brunette hair, and she just keeps showing up in the background to the point where she like walks by when she sees Abigail Breslin kissing the boy, and the boy's like, who was that?
No.
Well, I guess that question will never be solved.
I honestly have no idea. She's not
she
older,
kept showing
right?
up. No, she's not too.
She's not the lady from Zac Efron, right?
No.
No.
Well,
no.
That is a problem that will never be solved. So go ahead and tell me.
Maybe I forgot because at some point I stopped caring.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me about Josh Duhamel and then we'll finish with Halle Berry. Oh, wait. We have another.
There's a whole other story that I just remembered.
With Seth Meyers.
Seth Meyers
Jessica Biel.
Jessica Biel. She's back.
She's back and ready for having a baby.
Yep. All right. So what was the guy's name? I forgot.
Josh Duhamel
just got out of a wedding with, I believe, his brother and his fiance, obviously.
Obviously.
It was a very small wedding.
Who were they? Were they famous?
I probably don't recognize them.
Okay.
So he leaves and he's like, I gotta go back. And he's leaving. And he crashes his car, kind of. It wasn't even really a big crash, but apparently it's enough to drive, not get home.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls a tow truck, and the tow truck guy's like, oh, I'll let you take it over, da-da-da-da-da. And she's like, all right, well, can you drive me to a mechanic? Or can you drive me to New York? He's like, nah, that's too far. That's crazy. I can't drive you that far.
What is this? I'll be home for Christmas?
Yeah. And he's like, ah, okay. Can you drive me to a mechanic? He's like, oh, yeah, mechanic's 10 miles. Oh, great. He's closed today because it's New Year's Eve.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, is there any way I can get back to New York? She's like, yeah, my cousin.
Family, yeah, my cousin.
And his cousin.
They have an RV, right?
Yeah, and his cousin is the same guy who married his brother.
Oh.
For some reason.
Weird.
I don't know why. So he gets an RV, he starts driving, and he looks kind of bummed. He's like, I'll meet someone at a certain time.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay. All right, tell me your story. And he's like, well, this girl did this and this, and I wasn't listening, and then blah, 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 and then that happened.
Yeah.
And that's where I ended the movie.
Did you not recognize the woman with the high-pitched voice?
Was it the lady he was telling the story to?
Yeah.
No, I don't recognize her.
That is the voice of Lisa Simpson.
Okay.
That's all I recognize.
All right, cool. Scene.
So yeah, she's like, hey, you gotta get to New York.
That was a horrible.
Santa's little helper.
Okay.
So he gets to New York, and then he goes to a party, and his mom's there, and I think his mom, I don't know who his mom is. And then he has to do this. Oh, I forgot about the best line in the whole movie. I laughed out loud so hard.
Okay.
So he gets to the party and it's revealed that his father is dead. His father had died. And so he can't come to the party. So that's the reason he needed to show up at the party, because he needs to start the whole festive thing off. I think this is where Katherine Heigl is like working the party.
Okay.
So
there's so much more we have to cover.
I forgot about Katherine Heigl.
Skip through, man. Let's go.
Sorry. So he's there, and then he says the best line in the whole movie. He opens, because he has to tell a speech. He says, I'm not gonna give a long speech. Socrates gave long speeches, and his friends killed him.
Good joke.
So that was the best line of the movie. And so then he's like, I gotta meet the lady. And then there's that whole part where he runs by not Katherine Heigl. Whatever the fuck her name is. Hillary Swank, because you think she's supposed to win an episode.
Jennifer
Hillary
Garner.
Swank.
Yeah.
Jennifer Garner. And then he goes to the place that they met, and the place is closed. After all these years, it's been closed. So he just hangs out there for a really long time, and then he's about to leave, and then Sarah Jessica Parker shows up, and then they make out. Done.
Cool. Got that storyline out of the way.
Yeah, that was
all
great.
All right, let's put up another one. So, people are getting pregnant.
Yeah, two families are pregnant.
One is the guy with the Glorious and Glorious Bastards and his wife.
That's who it was!
Yeah.
Do you recognize who the wife was?
No. I recognized her, but I didn't know what she was from.
Sarah Paulson. She's from American Horror Story.
I recognize her. I believe she was in a Judd Apatow movie.
Probably, too.
She was a wife of someone.
She always has very concerned face.
Yeah, very concerned face.
But Hugo Spieglitz?
Yeah, Hugo Spieglitz.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah.
I was like, why does he have a German accent? That's so cool.
Yeah, yeah, he's cool, good.
And the other family?
The other family, which is our friend Jessica Biel.
Jessica Biel, she's been on the show recently.
She's been on the show recently.
Yeah.
About
2 weeks ago, yeah.
And some other guy, I don't remember his name.
Seth Meyers. He's got a late night show.
I don't know who that is.
SNL.
I don't watch
whatever.
That. This sounds like garbage.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is probably the dumbest plot.
No. The dumbest plot was fucking Abigail Breslin wanting to make out with some dude.
When you're a 13-year-old girl, you just want to make out with someone.
Are you sure?
I've been there.
With 13-year-old girls?
15. Thank you very much. 15. No. I understand that. But this was just like, hey, so the hospital was doing a thing where whoever has the first baby on the first New Year's gets $25,000.
Right.
So all they're doing is trying to induce labor as fast as they can, right, and it's not working, and blah, blah, blah. So she's eating stuff like, Jessica Biel is eating stuff like sardines, and blah, 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 and it's not blah, working. Blah, so she blah, goes blah, home. Blah. She does some yoga. Some yoga where she's hanging up upside down. And
how's that going to help?
I don't know, man. Whatever. Dude, they're doing all these weird things to induce labor.
Don't you want to jump up and down so it gets through your system?
That's exactly. Well, she's doing a headstand yoga, and I'm like, okay. And whatever his face is, Seth Meyers walks up and is like,
I've got a terrible late night show.
I'm not a scientist, but you know that if you put your heads up down like that, suddenly it turns into this Adam Sandler. But if you put the head up down like that, I feel like the baby's going the wrong way. And she's like, nah, man, I read this. So then her water breaks, and they're like, all right, rush to the hospital. And he's like, I'll get a cab. And then he gets a cab, but then the cab gets taken by someone else. And she's like, oh no. And then they take a cab, which is a pedicab, where the guy is pedaling.
Okay.
A bike. That's it.
All right. Then they get to the hotel. They get to the hospital, and the other family's there too in the same elevator. And then they go, they both rush in, and there's this whole drama about who's going to get the room. But it's like, you're going to have enough fucking room. Like, it doesn't even matter. This doesn't even matter. They both get the room, and they're both, and then Seth Meyers is like, I want to win. And it just feels like, I just want this baby out of me. And then, yeah.
And then, at that point, you're like, get this out of me.
Just get this fucking thing out of my body. And then Jessica Biel, her nurse is Carla, Guino. She's from, Spy Kids. She was the mom from Spy Kids.
Okay. All right.
Who cares? Whatever. Long story short, I think Seth Meyers and Jessica Biel had the baby first, but they realized how much it meant to the other family. So they lied and said they had it a minute later. And so then Hugo Spiglitz and Sarah Paulson.
They call him Hugo Spiglitz.
Yeah. There's one part in the movie where they go, who's that in the other room? And they go, Hugo Spiglitz. And then like it pauses and then the name pops up on the screen.
And it's like, da, da, da.
Yeah. Da, 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 da. Anyway, so whatever. And they're like, thank you. And then they get to have a baby first.
Cool.
Who cares? Next story. Which one do you want to do? Do you want to do Katherine Heigl or do you want to do Halle Berry?
Well, Halle Berry's story was pretty much the same as
okay, well, there's more at the end. You want me to tell you it?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was she was just like all about Robert De Niro. It's like, I work late, blah, blah, blah. That's it.
All right. So then she, after Robert De Niro is taken out, she goes to the back room. She gets all dressed up and she's in a pretty dress.
Cool.
And then they're like, ooh, girl, you look so good. Oh my God. And then she's like, ooh, thank you, girl. And then she goes to another room and on Skype is her husband who is apparently in the war.
Okay.
And that's why she got all dressed up. She's not going to any parties. She just wanted to look good for her husband. And her husband's on Skype. And her husband is in war and he is the worst actor I've ever seen. He goes, I can't wait to go back and see you. And then fucking Halle Berry's acting her ass off. And she's like, I love you. Please come back home to me. He's like, I love you too. I gotta go now.
Me, robot, please give me oil. Oil from Iraq war. Please. I hope we win so I get more oil for my body so I keep operating to love you.
And he's like, oil can. And then at one point he's like, I have to go, the war is starting. and then he's like no. And then it goes to static even though he was clearly on Skype.
Wait, really?
Yes.
What?
And then she's like, no. And she doesn't actually say no, but she's gonna miss him. And then she comes out of the room and then she says, hey. She's like, because what's her name, the lady, the one lady who's the lady that you kept messing up?
Katherine Heigl.
No! Hillary Swank! Hillary Swank is there, and she's all sad that her fucking dad died or some shit. And then Halle Berry's like, hey, you want to hang out with me? And then she's like, yeah, sure. And they go hanging out, and they look at all the newborn babies. And I'm like, my fucking dad just died. I don't want to look at all his life.
No, man. You got to see that things are better.
That's right. And then guess who else is there? Hugo Spiglitz and Seth Meyers is there, and they all hang out together. Who gives a fuck? So, Katherine Heigl.
I like how you end every story with who gives a fuck.
Who gives a fuck? Oh, wait. I totally forgot about one thing. Can I say one thing really quick?
Yeah, sure.
There's one great part where Josh Duhamel, after he gave his big speech, he's like left the speech and he's like drinking by the bar. And then these two ladies come up and one's like, hey, I'd like to be the girl behind you. And then some other girl comes up and she's like, I'd like to be the girl in front of you. They're totally proposing a three-way with him. And he's like, no, I made a promise. And then he just leaves to go to some girl that fucking probably doesn't even remember him from a year ago.
Yeah.
completely denies a three-way with these two chicks.
Well, you know, man's gotta have a code.
Gotta have a code. All right, so tell me about fucking John Bon goddamn Jovi.
Oh, his name is like Hansel?
I don't give a Hensel. Fuck. His name is John
Bon Jovi. I wrote his name down.
His name is John Bon Jovi.
Nah, man, he's got another name. His name, hold on. All right. Oh my gosh, my notes are just a mess. I've not been going on.
While you're looking, I'll say one more thing. When the two married people, or when the two pregnant people show up to the hospital, there's a male nurse there. And the male nurse says, let the best vajayjay win. And then they go to separate things.
Oh,
and I'm just
my
like,
God.
I want to. That was one of the things I put down for I hate this. That was
I
would have
said
10.
That too. That is really bad.
It's so bad. Like, it's so bad. And you know, he said that and the theater just busted up fucking laughing.
All right. I think his name is Hansel.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's like Hansen, so.
mm-ba.
I don't know a Hansen song off the top of my head.
That's one of them.
I'll take your word for it.
All right.
So this guy named Hansel is like going to do this party. It's the same party that Zac Efron really wanted to get into.
Oh, that's stupid.
It's the same party.
Go ahead and talk and I'll tell you why it's stupid.
So, Katherine Heigl is the chef.
Yes.
He's catering the party.
Yes.
Or the sous chef. Sofia Vergara. And one other person, Russell Peters. He's
that
helping.
Was Russell Peters. Russell Peters. That would have been my shining light in this movie because I love Russell Peters.
Russell Peters is playing a straight up Indian man.
Yes.
He's doing an Indian accent the entire time, which
yes.
I was like, man, this just reminds me of Masters
of
None.
Yep.
And how Aziz Ansari is like, man, Indian guys always got to do the Indian accent.
Yep.
Even
true.
Though they're not Indian or talk like Americans, you know?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
There's some racist stuff that goes on later in the movie.
Yeah,
too.
There is.
Yeah. Because of him being Indian.
Mm-hmm. No, honestly, that was probably the worst part. Russell Peters and Sofia Vergara, basically just two minorities that act as stereotypical minorities as they can.
Are there any other minorities other than Ludacris and Halle Berry?
Not really.
Mm. Yikes.
Not really.
Anyway,
sorry,
keep going.
So Katherine Heigl's got this thing where she dated Hansel at one point, but he left.
Oh, they weren't married?
No, they were dating. I didn't say that. I said dating.
They were married.
No.
Yes.
No, he said boyfriend.
Later on.
Okay, maybe they were married. No, he proposed and
they were
going to get married and he left before she got married. Like right beforehand.
That
I believe that's
sense.
What happened.
Keep talking because right. I'll tell you what I heard.
Look, all right. That's what I heard. That's all I remember.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so, you know, everyone's obsessed with Hansel. Continuity. You know, Sofia Vergara is like, oh, I like you a lot. And he's like, oh, cool. And she's like, you know, she said something like, he got on his knees and proposed to me. Katherine Heigl was complaining to her. And she's like, oh, the only time people get on their knees in my country
is to eat my taco.
Dang it.
You said they're racist.
No, it was almost that racist. Let
What'd
me get
she
to
say?
The actual-
oh, it's worse?
She said, only time people get on their knees is when they're proposing or they're getting shot. Because her place is
that
clamoring.
Is so bad.
Yeah.
I thought mine was bad.
No, yours is really bad. Yours is really bad. I'm not going to let you off that.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, Russell Peters is straight up Indian. Just
so bad. Oh, they make a curry joke at one point later in the movie.
Anyway, what else happened? I don't know. Fuck, dude. She's just mad because he's there. She's like a really top sous chef. She doesn't like him. But then they started to seem okay near the middle of it. Near the end, they're like, I don't know. I'm really sorry I did this. I'm really sorry I snapped. This is a big night for me. I'm catering like the biggest party ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel kind of like nervous and all this stuff. And he's like, no, it's cool. I'm just going to party. So at one point, you see the party going on. They're all wearing their masks or whatever. And he plays a song and whatever. Who cares? And that's it. Like, I don't know.
All
that's
right,
about it.
Later on, it's revealed that John Bon Jovi, Hansel, got the job for Katherine Heigl. It's revealed that he said he wouldn't play this party
unless
anybody else but Katherine Heigl.
Oh, that's sneaky.
Yeah.
That's sneaky.
Which, by the way, if I was Katherine Heigl, I would have seriously taken that as an offense. Like, what, you don't think I can get this job on my own? Fuck
yeah,
you.
I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, but she takes it as a very flattering thing.
Whatever.
Whatever. Movie. And so then, her and Sofia Vergara, after getting out of their very skimpy and not dirty at all chef outfits.
Oh, sexy chef.
They get into sexy dress outfits.
Cool.
And, like, by the way, I didn't think they were chefs at first because they didn't look like chefs at all. Like, their clothes were totally clean.
They honestly look like staff members.
Yeah,
the
they look like
crew.
Staff members. So anyway, doesn't matter. So then Sophia Vergara was like, I'm going to go out and go on a party. You want to go out to party with me?
Going on a party. Okay, yeah.
And Catherine Heigl's like, no. And I'm like, then why did you fucking get all dressed up? Whatever.
She wanted to impress her ex-boyfriend, man.
She doesn't know that he's going to hang out. She thinks that he's gotta sing at New Year's.
He did. He already did that, yeah.
No, he's got to sing when the ball drops.
Oh.
So then Catherine Heigl is eating. She's in the kitchen and she's eating a bunch of chocolate candy, and then John Bon Jovi shows up, or Hansel shows up, and says, "Hey, you want something?
You want to eat some other kinds of chocolate?"
Well, that's the thing.
I'm into some weird stuff.
Hansel and Gretel were all about the candy.
Oh my gosh!
Think about that. And he only comes into the kitchen when she's eating all this chocolate candy. Fuck. Either that was done to look clever, or they were just stupid, and I'm looking too into it.
Probably a combination.
So anyway, it is revealed. He says this line. The best day of my life was when I married you, and the worst day of my life is when we got divorced.
Oh, okay. That makes it sound like he was married.
Yeah.
So look, I don't know,
no,
dude.
No. You could be right, and there's just no consistency in this movie. Okay. That is... totally an option.
Possibility, yeah.
So then she's like, "Oh, what you supposed to sing?" That's my Catherine Heigl. And then he's like, "No."
Who would leave that voice? Who could leave that when someone's like, "Make love to me."
Deborah,
I've been knocked up.
Deborah. So yeah. Is there anything else about this movie? They
look,
wind up
man,
together. Who gives a fuck?
That's it.
That's it. Is that's that it? It. I think that's all the subplots.
Yeah, we tied them all together. All
and
the
guess
subplot.
What, audience? It's fucking stupid.
This movie.
It's so bad.
This movie. Okay, so we referred to I'll Be Home for Christmas as a popcorn movie, or a bubblegum movie.
A bubblegum movie.
This is a bubblegum movie.
This
where
is
the
too
bubble,
much bubblegum.
Someone just took the entire, like, what is those things called? Like, roll up things.
Oh yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Bubble
the roll
the
up bubble gum.
Yeah,
it's like a fruit by the foot, but it isn't.
But they shove that entire thing in your mouth. Like, I can't chew all this. I can't digest because all of these plots are happening between each other, rapid fire, because your attention span is expected to be that of a weasel.
Yeah,
and you just can't keep up with all of it, and all of it is so
annoyingly intertwined. Too.
When you put them out like this, and we explain them out loud, they're all so fucking thin.
Yeah.
There is nothing redeeming about any of these.
No, yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing too, is like I'm watching this, I'm like, it'd be interesting because like when she's on Skype with her husband, I'm like, it'd be interesting if he like died or
like there would be some interest. There are interesting ways they could take these stories,
but they never take them that way because
it's a 2-hour-long movie.
Yeah, this movie is too long too.
Yeah, no, like, definitely. Well, I mean, considering all the threads and all the plots they have, like it makes sense.
But they're so thin.
They're so thin, but there's 8 of them.
Yeah, that's true.
If you put 8 times what 20. That's like a number that I can't comprehend right now. So
that's 160.
160. There you go. There's 2 hours. It's more than 2 hours right now. So they spend like 15 minutes on each plot.
Wow, that was 160. I'm good at math.
Good job, dude.
Thank you.
I'm not. Nah. So yeah, again, it's just they don't spend much time on each character in 15 minutes.
And
unless,
like half of them
unless,
are shit. Like,
unless
okay.
you're a fucking amazing director, there's no way you could make a 15-minute story like that interesting.
But
and if you do, you definitely do not
split
them between every single character.
And you can't use this kind of material.
Yeah.
Because like, okay, the two people that want to have a baby, lame. Abigail Breslin, lame. Like, there's so much shit in this movie that is just lame.
Yeah.
And you just don't care.
You know
and
what?
Then here's the weird thing too. Like the Halle Berry one was the only thing I really liked because it didn't end happily, really. You know what I mean? Like it's
melancholy type thing.
It's very melancholy and it's a really pretty idea of like somebody spending all of New Year's Eve at a hospital to take care of this old guy and then going to talk to their terrible acting husband all the way, you know, and then getting all dressed up for that. That's really pretty. And then you put that next to Abigail.
I want to kiss boy.
I want to kiss a horny teenage boy. Oh, he kissed another girl. I'm angry. Oh, he kissed me.
But you could also argue that that is a juxtaposition of two different people in two different parts of their life.
You're right, but that
because
juxtaposition.
When you're 15, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
When you're 15, you don't have a whole lot of stakes. You don't have a career. You don't know what you're going to do. You're just doing the motions of going through junior high to high school. You're going through a weird, you know, things where you're discovering yourself and things like that.
You're absolutely right. But this juxtaposition creates one of these timelines, or not timelines, one of these stories as like how, like, it really puts into scope how stupid
and petty and petty, like, whatever.
Because,
yeah,
like, that's the thing, is you have this human drama of, like, not just Halle Berry, but also, like, the regret and the death of, like, Robert De Niro. You have the regret that that old lady feels. Like, you have all these really good stories. Compare that to, like, I want to have a baby on New Year's. I don't give a fuck. That's, like, that, that is my, like, that is my review. I don't give a fuck about any of these people.
You're right. They do not give enough reason to care about anyone.
Yeah.
And that is a fault of having every single character, every single person ever,
yeah,
from anything,
yeah,
in this movie.
And that's the thing. Every time another person showed up, I just kept laughing.
Like, it's like, it's
more
so
and more.
It's,
I had, like, to keep pausing it and writing all the names out.
Yeah. That's what I had to do, because it was just, they were just comical how many people showed up and the ways they showed up. I know you missed it, but the first reveal was hilarious because it's like, you remember this guy from this thing?
No.
He's coming.
I got that. I got when Matthew Broderick shows,
oh, yeah,
up.
Yeah, when Broderick
pops out of the car.
Yeah, they pop up. They love popping up like pop-up books.
Yeah, like,
it's,
oh,
so weird.
I'm here in this movie too.
Oh, this movie's terrible.
It's really bad. It's, but here's the, okay. So we talked about another bad movie recently, Christmas with the Cranks, and we mentioned how no one in that movie seemed to want to be in this movie.
Yeah.
This is like the opposite. Like, this is a bad movie for us to watch, but like at the end of the movie, there's a bunch of like bloopers during the credits and there's all this like stuff. You can tell the actors loved,
you know why?
Because they just could do whatever they wanted.
They could do whatever they want. Also, they only had to be on set for half as long as like a regular movie because it's only like 15 minutes.
But like, you can tell everyone's having a good time with each other. They're joking around. They have good like chemistry.
They're just hanging out, man. They're like networking.
That's what
bro.
It is. It's just a super comfy set, and we just have to watch these actors being comfy
and boring
and boring and lame and stupid. I hated watching this movie.
This movie was really bad.
It was so, and like, like, I got here, and I'm like, I need to drink something, because I can't stand this movie. This movie was so, like, it sucked the soul out of me. Like, before the movie, I was like, I'm okay, I'm having a good day. Like, my day could be, you know, my day could be better, but I'm sure it'll be fine. And then the movie happened, and then afterwards,
the
I
thing about the
felt,
movie, it's just all fluff.
It's
just
all
such
fluff.
A fluffy movie.
There's nothing
again,
there.
It's for people who want to read People Magazine. They want to read something about their celebrities. They want to see some short stories that don't really matter that much.
Yeah, you're absolutely
they
right.
They want to see the people they like. They want to see them acting.
And all the lessons from the movie are shit you've heard before, especially the people who've probably seen the movie.
Oh, it's just super generic.
It's all super generic. Like, we need to love each other. It, you know, if
stop being a helicopter mom.
Stop being a helicopter mom. Love your parents, you know, or like this one quote in the movie is like, if think of the thing that if you die tomorrow, that's one thing you would fight for and then do it. Like, everyone's heard this kind of shit before. It just fucking rolls over you.
And it's
fine.
Like, other movies have those morals and better movies have those morals. And the thing about those movies is they spend a lot more time working up to that moral.
Yeah.
While on the other hand, this is just a movie that plays like a short vignette of a thing and then is like, please like.
Yeah.
So here's another thing that I thought was interesting is that Modern Family, the very first pilot episode, have you seen the pilot episode of Modern Family?
It's been a while.
But at the beginning is all these different people. And you're
oh, and then
all
at the end it's a reveal that
they're all related.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that was cool.
That was pretty cool at that time. That also was an hour long. That also followed only three characters.
Yeah.
That also.
Three
households.
Right.
That I felt worked way better.
Mm-hmm. Both had Sofia Vergara.
They did. One where she was actually good in it.
Yeah.
So the point is, it's just they didn't spend enough time with the characters for anyone to really care about them.
Yeah, absolutely right.
It was, they could have cut out about half. Like, if this was maybe between four different storylines, it'd probably been good. Probably been a lot better. They could spend more time with them. You would have cared a little bit more about each character. Also, this could have also been something like, I know the ABCs of Death does something where it's similar, where it's like, here's a short vignette of this weird thing. If they did that, where it wasn't split up, where every second you're swapping between storylines and it's just getting like, well, I kind of like this section. Oh, we're switched over. Sorry. We're now going to hang out with these other five characters you don't care about as much as one storyline you want to see.
Yeah.
It disconnects you a little bit.
However, like, we tried doing that here where we went through each timeline separately and it didn't work.
No, I liked it better though.
Oh, did you?
As opposed to it jumping back and forth.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, it could have worked better.
I didn't say it was great. I didn't say it was a way to fix
it. I do like it better, though.
I don't say it was a way to fix
this
movie.
Because you stay with those characters the whole time.
But then the twists and the stuff where they all meld together wouldn't be as impactful. So I understand why they
didn't do it. It could have been, because you would have a thing of like Sarah Jessica Parker's story, right? And she would have been like, no, I've got other plans. And then you just don't see her, the rest of her story. And then you follow Josh Duhamel, and then she shows up.
But it wouldn't have that aha moment where it's like, that person.
I think it could have.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Either way, doesn't matter?
No. Movie's garbage.
This movie's garbage.
Movie's straight garbage.
Because like I said, who gives a fuck? Who cares about these characters? Who cares about these stories?
I remember
stories?
Hearing about this movie when it came out.
Yeah.
I remember seeing trailers for it and being like, man, this movie looks like garbage.
You're right.
It is garbage.
It's absolute garbage.
I think it's set at 7%.
Yeah, it's super low on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, I forgot how low, but it's really low.
7%.
Is it 7?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's super low.
It's garbage.
It's all around Tomatoes and IMDb. Like, it's low everywhere. Like, yeah. No one likes this movie.
It's a garbage movie.
It is a garbage movie. And you feel like garbage watching it. Yep. At least I did.
Anything else? Because I feel like I can't.
I feel like
we're at quite a long mark here. We got a long movie. We got a long podcast.
We had a lot to get through. There's a lot. And that's good. Okay. This is the last thing I have to say then. This movie was all plot. In a movie full of characters. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because I really thought about this. I feel like characters should move plot. Plot should not move characters. And I feel like this movie wanted to be characters moving the plot, and it just didn't work. It just felt like plot was rushing over you every scene, and there was never a moment of calm or relaxation or just understanding who these characters were and loving them. Was there a favorite character of yours in the movie?
I like Ashton Kutcher because he had a beard thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
I don't think I liked a single character in this movie. Maybe, I don't know. I don't think I liked I liked Robert De Niro, but just because he's Bobby De Niro, man.
Yeah.
But,
that's
who he is. But if you like this movie.
Please don't contact us.
Please don't go to our Facebook.
I don't know why you like this.
Why would you listen this far into this episode
this
if you
so
liked
bad.
This movie?
All right, I gotta ask one question. This is worse than Christmas with the Cranks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it is.
That's the correct answer.
Hell yeah. But it's not nearly the worst movie we've seen.
No.
No.
It's not offensively bad. It's just bad.
It's definitely no Joanna Man. Nothing is Joanna Man. No, nothing.
Anyway. Comment, go to iTunes, like, subscribe, whatever you do on iTunes. Give us a rating.
Give us
a review.
This movie has destroyed
my brain.
Yeah. Go to our iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating and review. We will read it on the show. Go to our Facebook or Twitter and leave something there if you want to. Follow us there as well.
That's why I let you do this.
Yeah. You can email us. If you enjoyed this movie, you want to fucking chew us out, and you're like, you know what? This movie really touched me on a deep level.
I want to see someone try.
Email us. Even if you think we won't agree with you, email us at email@theotherfpodcast.com. Who gives a fuck, guys? Who gives a fuck? Happy New Year, you pieces of shit. Good night.
So mean.